The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Believe You Me podcast. This is going to be basically the Anthony Lionheart Smith episode. You know, everything revolves around you. You've got new fights. There's big shakeups with your former opponents and your division. We've got the biggest star in the sport coming after you. I mean, you're all over the place, Anthony, these days.
Listen, Mike, it's probably a good idea to bring me on.
Oh, God, here we go. Here we go. It's coming out. The reality. Played it all humble for a while. Let's get right into this. McGregor, first of all, I want to ask you something. Did you snap your leg? Because he said you didn't break your leg. What was the injury?
It was a medial malleosis fracture. So it's an extension of my leg bone that goes into my ankle. So not the same break, but
right. Yeah. It was still a broken leg.
Yeah, I had surgery. It's not like it didn't heal itself.
I have two breaks in my back right now. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not paralyzed, as you can clearly see. I can still go about my life, but there's still breaks. There's still fractures. Right. Still need operating on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough to fight with a broken leg and ankle.
Yeah, it's not easy. So anyway, I mean, what was your reaction? In fact, hold on. For anyone that hasn't heard this, Brian, just roll the tape. McGregor, he does love a good voice note on Twitter these days, and some of them are funny.
I don't even know how to do those.
I figured it out because I saw his. I didn't even know you could do that either, so I was messing around one day. But he did one at Joe Rogan just recently. Did you see that?
I did see that one, yeah.
What did he say? Oh, whatever. But anyway, go on, play Connor having a go at Anthony.
Come here, this one goes out to Anthony Smith, yeah? You know, reports came out your last bout, you broke the leg, right? You're sitting there hobbled over the oak. What was the extent of the injury? It was silence out of your trap on that. So obviously it was a miscalculation. You didn't break your leg, but what was it? Was it a stress fracture? What was the issue, pal? Because you know what that looks like to me, you hobbling out there. It was what I experienced pre the break, what I went through in the camp and in training, and had them stress fractures, and they were building up over time, even over fucking years of booting people around, yeah? It built up over time. So keep kicking, pal, until the leg snaps. Until then, strap your leg up and keep fucking going and get back in that cage and kick until the leg fucking fully snaps. And then you'll be at my level, yeah? And then go about what you got to go about to. I'm a big, bad machine. What can I say? God decided it.
Big, bad machine, Anthony.
Yeah, he's got the big part right. For a 55-er.
Yeah, for a 55er.
For a 55er.
So, go on. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, it seemed like he calmed down a little bit from the tweets once he put the voice note out. But I just said it was a medial malleosis break. And it's not, I mean, it's he compared it to his. It's a totally different part of the leg. But I never said that mine was worse or that his was worse. There's no way I could have. I mean, I tried, you know, I just couldn't walk. Yeah. But what I took from that was from just his whole little freak out. That's exactly the point that I was making. He made my whole point by having this freak out. He said that he had to do it because he wasn't healing correctly, and that the break was so bad that the percentages were really low. I'm not even questioning the reason. I get it. Like all of us who've had injuries, if there's something out there that's not like a, if there's something out there that could help me heal that I could do legally, totally would. You know what I mean? Because I would heal a lot faster. But it's not even his reasoning that I'm questioning. It's the, what bugs me and what I said bothered me is like guys like Anderson and guys like Chris Weidman and myself, like, have had lots of bad injuries, and we didn't have the ability to just step out of the USADA pool, get yourself healed, and then come back with no repercussions. That was my issue. So him justifying it, some of the stuff that's on the USADA list could help us a lot when in terms of healing and getting back faster. I don't disagree with that. Did he break any rules? You're the one who played devil's advocate.
Yep.
You said he doesn't, he's not breaking any rules. That's because different rules apply to him. Like I don't have that capability, or at least I didn't think. I mean, is that the thing? Can we do that?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure, Anthony. I mean, is that what makes you think that you can't, if you are, you know, if you've got a broken leg, you can't fight for
in the USADA bylaws,
why can't you come out?
In the USADA bylaws, the only way that you can get out of the pool is if you're no longer in a contract with the UFC or you retire. That, as far as the rules are written, that like that's in their rules.
That's reasons for you leaving. But I guess you could contact them and say, look, listen, I'm not fighting anytime soon. You know, I've got a broken leg. So don't bother testing me. I don't want to be Jiří Procházka. I don't want you showing up at my door 27 times. I'm certainly not going to fight for about a year. So take me out of the testing pool and we'll deal with the consequences later.
Right. Is that part, like, is that the rule? Like, I don't know. That's how it seems to be. But if that was the case, I think that a lot more fighters would be taking advantage of that to go.
Yeah.
But also it could be taken advantage of, if that makes sense. Like they could take advantage of the healing properties. But also there's going to be guys that are going to want to, you know, game the system. So did he break any rules? No, because there are no rules. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have any rules. So that's what, I get it. He was pissed. I called him out. I said something about it. It was viewed a lot. You know, I got mediated and they wrote shitty headlines. So it triggered him. And then he probably didn't go back and listen to the whole conversation. I think deep down, Connor still is a fighter. So I bet he gets it. I bet he understands why that's bothersome for some people. So is he going to say that? No, never. But as a fighter deep down in his heart, there's no way he doesn't get it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just another day in the books, isn't it, really? And it comes at me, comes at you. Who else has he been going at? Joe Rogan, as I said before. What was it? Yeah. Shut up, Joe, you little fool. Yeah. What are you talking about? Smash, smash this and smash that. What was smashed was my knee into your fucking eye socket. Yeah, shit. Oh, fucking, I can't do with that stupid voice that he did. But anyway, that was a bit heavy, wasn't it? A way to start the show. Normally we're like, have a bit of intro. We do a bit of small talk, a bit of weekend shenanigans, and then we get into it. But you like fucking, no. You were like talking with a slow voice.
Well, I guess I need to be a little more clear. I guess I need to be a little more clear sometimes.
You sounded like a serial killer.
You know, Mike, you get me in trouble. That's what it is.
Don't fucking blame me.
Oh, it's definitely you.
How is the, I said nothing. I played devil's advocate. I made excuses for Connor. I'm just merely giving both sides of the fence.
Yeah. How is that what you call it?
How is that my fault? Oh, why? What do you call it?
Because I get wrapped up in these conversations, and sometimes I forget that there's hundreds and thousands of people that are listening to this. So I to me, it's just you and I having a conversation. So sometimes I need to be, I assume that you know what I'm getting at. Like, you know the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Because we think a lot alike. And so I don't always voice that. I'll just say something.
Sure.
And I don't always make it very clear. Like, I never once said that Connor was breaking the rules. And I think that was the insinuation that he was cheating. Is he, I said it.
Well, listen. Sorry to cut you off, but it's just the assumption that he's doing steroids, right? That's what everyone's talking about. It's not just you.
It's
yeah. Well, we don't have any proof.
He didn't deny it.
Yeah, true. I mean, everyone seems to be on that assumption these days. He certainly put some size on. Let's be honest. And if you look at the pieces, you haven't got to be a fucking, a forensic accountant when it comes to investigating.
Right. That's the headline right there. Michael Bisping puts the pieces together.
I've been putting the pieces together, brother. All right, guys, let's just hear from Chalk real quick. Chalk, basically, they're offering an all-natural testosterone booster, and it is all-natural. And it might be something that you want to take advantage of. You know, right now, men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. So if you're following a good diet, you're killing it in the gym, you're doing everything you're trying, you're not losing weight, you're not building muscle, you may be, you know, your libido is suffering. Maybe your wife's, you know, bothered with you. Maybe you just don't have energy. As you're getting a little bit older, start getting into your mid to late 30s, testosterone levels are dropping, and that is where Chalk comes in. Listen, CHOQ, Chalk. We know there's lots of nonsense out there on the market, but Chalk are proud to stand above the rest. They offer clean, pure, and healthy products. Chalk labels everything right then and there. You can see how much is going in, so no label fluffing. No underdosing. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. And along with the Chalk Daily, be sure to check out their Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Listen, as the holiday season approaches, give the gift of better health to yourself and others. Check out chalk.com. That's CHOQ.com. And while you're there, be sure to use the promo code BISPING at checkout. You're going to get a huge 35% off. Okay, that is quite the discount. CHOQ. Chalk.com, promo code BISPING. Get the testosterone, get a better version of you, and get it at 35% off. Chalk.com, code is BISPING. How was your weekend? No UFC at the weekend, Anthony?
It was good. We did, I had another Thanksgiving yesterday here at the house.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to get this goddamn podcast studio together, but it's look at my door, like my door and my wall are.
You look like you're in prison. You look like you're at a Young Offenders Institute. Well,
there's nothing in here. It's just...
I know. Guys, we got to send him some stuff.
Where's my tree?
There's a lot of shit. Where's the Christmas tree blinking away in the background? I believe I sent me that picture of my dog. I have gifts. We got to get Anthony some objet d'art in the background. We need some bits and bobs.
We need it. Some bits and bobs. We need some paint the whole thing the same fucking color first.
You need a brick wall.
But I got a new computer. I got some lights. I got a new screen. I got all this. I got a bar over here that you guys can't see. I'll show you guys later when it's all finished. I don't even have there's not even a door handle on that door. You can't see it, but there's no handle on it because it's all brand new.
Well, it's all brand new, ready to be broken in. And we shall do that. And we will send you bits and bobs and objet d'art.
If there's any believers out there that want to send me some cool shit, I'll take it.
Send some cool shit. Harrington, Brian, how are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for asking.
Now, what do you think? Hey, what's up, Brian? What do you think Harrington looks like? We were talking about this earlier, Anthony. Okay. He looks different. He's shaved the beard, and he's got the beanie, and he's got the black sweater on. If you were to guess a profession for Harrington, what would that be?
Burglary. Probably.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he looks like he's about to break into an 11-year-old's house and fucking run the faucet.
If he had real big hair, he'd look like one of the guys from Home Alone. One of those.
Yeah. Burglars. Yes. Oh, my God. Thank you. Because what did you call them, Brian?
I said he looked like a wet bandit earlier.
A wet bandit. And I was going to say.
Sticky bandit.
Because we was talking before you came on. And I said, bring that up. Say he looks like a wet bandit. And then I'll say to Anthony, what movie is that from? And I'm like, I guarantee he doesn't get it.
Home Alone? I've watched 1, 2, and 3 over the last 2 days with my kids.
All right. So that was quick Christmas, Thanksgiving viewing. Harrington, throw a story at us, please, my friend.
Okay. Probably the number one story is being talked about on every single publication under the sun, from the New York Times, Variety, 250,000 tweets an hour about it. Balenciaga, the number one, like a top-rated fashion house, is in trouble because of an ad campaign that they did that had some very questionable material in it, including a teddy bear in full BDSM garb and court documents referencing some pretty nasty cases. So Balenciaga today came out and said they are now suing the company that created the marketing campaign for them for $25 million because they have defamed them that badly with this ad campaign.
First of all, Balenciaga, Anthony. You ever rock a bit of Balenciaga?
They got some whack ass shoes.
It's awful.
I can't get down with it.
No, it is bad.
I'm a shoe nerd. You know, I go to Louis Vuitton and Gucci every once in a while. I like the shoes. I can't ever get down with it's very rare I find like a Louis Vuitton or a Gucci shirt or pants that I would wear, but
yeah. No,
it's almost never. But the shoes, for sure.
Brian, just never. Look at the Balenciaga Simpsons T-shirt, because I went down this rabbit hole before with Balenciaga, right? And this whole fucking thing with the kids and the child porn and all the rest of it. And next minute, I'm watching Andrew Tate videos. He's calling everyone a fucking Satanist, and apparently, and then Brian's on board with all of this. But one of the things I saw whilst going down this rabbit hole was a $650 Balenciaga Simpsons T-shirt, and it is awful. It is bad. I would not be seen dead in it. You could go to Universal Studios and get one for $30 and it'll fit way better. It is. That's not the one. It's in black, but whatever. A lot of shit. $650. $650. And the shoes are bad. Go on that one there. Look at that person. Who wants to dress like that? Go back to that full image. Who the fuck wants to dress like that? Look at that. And they charge like $1,200 for the shoes as well. Never in a million years.
I just don't like it. Their shoes look like submarines on your feet. I don't know. It's not me. So I seen Derek Brunson was on Twitter saying something about Balenciaga, but I didn't know what he was talking about. So what's the teddy? Yeah. What's the deal? I don't get it.
Brian, you got to bring up the thing. So they did an ad campaign. It's some kids and they're holding teddy bears, and the teddy bears are dressed in like BDSM, like sadomasochistic bondage fucking stuff. So it is all a bit weird. And you know, and they're trying
to
be. No
one thought that was a bad idea.
Say again.
No one thought that was a bad idea.
Yeah. And then on top of it, on like this table, there's like court documents. Wow. Ruling on like some child porn case or something like that as well. So it's just. It's just in very bad taste.
Yeah, that's what I don't get with these big corporate companies that end up running some weird shit that, you know, gets, you know, blown back in their face. Like that had to go through like 5 or 6 different people.
Correct.
Like, before you even take the picture. No one thought that was a bad idea.
Correct. Correct.
That's a terrible idea.
Nobody thought, ooh, let's put innocent little children holding teddy bears dressed up as... I don't know, sex toys, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And then now there's a backlash. You want to sue the ad company. You know? I'm sure someone had to approve it some step of the way. Brian, the floor is yours. I have never... listen, Brian says he's not a crazy conspiracist. You are a fucking crazy conspiracist. Stop. One more thing to do. One more thing to do before you can speak. Play that Andrew Tate video that I showed you. It's only a minute long. Listen to this cock. Then yeah, you're a cock, Andrew Tate. I think he's a cock. I don't know if I'm out of it, might be loved.
What are the statistical odds of repeated references to pedophilia being included in multiple advertisement campaigns for one particular brand? Basically, completely impossible. This is very, very purposeful, and they've done it because they're trying to give you hints and trying to normalize and show you and tell you what they do. They're doing this because of karmic retribution. Satanists believe if they tell you what they're doing, if they make their intentions clear and you still adhere to them, that they are no longer responsible for the negative consequences of them. That is karmic retribution. I'll give an example. If I have a stall of poisoned apples and I put up a sign that says apples and you buy one, I've poisoned you. But if I have a stall of poisoned apples and I put up a sign that says poison apples and you buy one, now you've committed suicide. I have not poisoned you. You have committed suicide. If you know what I am doing, if you know what I am selling, and you still comply and adhere, you are basically saying that all the consequences are erased. That's how karmic retribution works in the satanic world. They are making it extremely clear to you, on purpose, little by little, trying to show the world they are pedophilic, because that way they will not be punished in the eyes of their God for their crimes. This is not just strange, unusual, some kind of coincidence. No, this is elites telling you that they are absolutely and utterly pedophiles, and they are here to see if you are complicit in the actions themselves. Now that you understand that, the question is, what are you really going to do about it?
Boycotting Balenciaga
is a fantastic.
So, Brian, I see you nodding your head vigorously there. So, all the elites, they're all pedophiles?
I mean, all is a lot, but like, there were quite a few names on that flight list to Jeffrey Epstein's island. And Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail for trafficking people to no one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't say that there isn't something shady going on. And
that was one guy that's a very well-known sex offender.
A lot of very powerful friends on his flight logs.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like world leaders and Hollywood actors and producers and everybody who runs every part of media on
right,
the planet.
Stop. Anthony, first of all, who's this guy talking about? Balenciaga, everyone that works at Balenciaga, everyone.
No, but the people who run the company, the people who are trying.
I'm more concerned why he's wearing a fucking fanny pack around his neck like a necklace. That's all I could focus on. Like, why are you wearing it like that, you goddamn idiot?
Do you even see it? Why is he wearing a fanny pack?
Wear it like a crossbody or something, or wear it around your waist like a real man.
The crossbody's done, man. That's like sold 3 years ago. Where's he wearing it? It's around his neck.
What an idiot.
Douchebags do that. If you're out there wearing a bloody bum bag, we call them in England, across there, you're a dick. I don't even know what to say or what we're doing. I feel like this has been the most bizarre start to an episode we've ever had.
Yeah, the Balenciaga thing is super weird.
Yeah, no, it is. I was just like,
the concept that he's explaining is real, but I don't know if it applies here.
But there's no such thing, Satanists.
No.
Have you ever seen the Bohemian Grove video, Mike?
No, I haven't.
I'll show it to you after the show.
So are people are eating children and stuff, are there? Is that what
no, but they're conducting. But like Walter Cronkite is the host of all of these fucking super rich people and politicians doing some real satanic rituals. What blows my mind about it is Alex Jones is the one who filmed this fucking years ago.
Oh, it's stop.
Once you start, once you got Alex Jones on here, we're going to lose everybody.
Stop. Oh, God. Wow.
I do love me some Alex Jones for the entertainment factor. The concept of telling people what you're doing so that you don't feel like you're wrong or they can't blame it on you or come back at you. That's a real concept for sure. But I don't know if it applies here. But
yeah, well, if he's absolutely right, if you give someone poisoned apples and they don't know about it, you've poisoned them. If you put a big sign saying these are poisoned apples and they eat it themselves, well, that's on fucking them, isn't it? And he's so smart for pointing that out. Anyway, you know what I'm going to do? Dramatic U-turn. This is us driving down the street. Hamzat's driving. Darren Till's in the passenger side. You and in the back seat. We're screaming. We're praying. Hamzat, don't crash. Don't crash. He slams on the handbrake. We do a fucking 180 degree turn. And then we drive off in a different direction. And that different direction will be, whoa, UFC 282. What a crazy shakeup that card had, because Jiří Procházka has vacated the belt. Welcome to the show, everyone. What was that?
Oh, that's good. That's good. That was a good U-turn.
Yeah, didn't we? The subscriber count's going down by the second. let me ask you, though. I mean, that was a crazy turn of events. I don't think anyone expected that. Poor Jiří. We had him on the show last week, I think, or the week before, I forget. Mm-hmm. And shoulder injury, out of it. Vacated the belt so the division can continue moving along. What are your thoughts on this whole situation, Ant?
Well, I was shocked at it. He vacated so quickly, but I guess that just tells you how bad it really was. If they didn't want to do an interim title or anything like that, I feel really bad for Glover. Just from the reports, I think Ariel talked to him and put out the report that he was willing to fight Jan Blachowicz because he'd already prepared for him one time. He's already got a win over him. Kind of knows what he's getting into, but that Ankalaev was a more of a crapshoot. To be honest with you, maybe I'm just a Glover Teixeira nut hugger, but I think he beats both those guys anyways. But
yeah,
I understand his decision to maybe sit back and let the title fight go ahead and then hope that he's next in line. I think that that's a smart career move. I think it's a hard decision to make. So I sent him a text, and just said, man, I know that's a tough decision to have to make. I admire him for making it, because I don't think I could have made that decision. I think I would have just fought whoever they put in front of me if the belt was the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
I've got one thing to say to that, Anthony. The next time you're conversing with Glover Teixeira, having texts, invite him on the goddamn show, bro.
Oh yeah. See, I always feel weird inviting people on the show.
Get the guests on. Get the guests.
It's the text. It's the text that I got to send to you. Like, hey, Mike, I got a Glover Teixeira coming on the podcast, and I'm just gonna.
It's our show. You get on whoever you want. I just feel bad. All right,
Andrew Tate's on next Monday.
Oh, fucking great. Can't wait for it. More bullshit. As you said, first of all, I do feel bad for Jiří, obviously. Apparently one of the worst shoulder injuries that Dana said he's seen in the history of the company. So it must be pretty bad. He's stepped out. He's vacated the belt. I mean, he talks about the samurai lifestyle, but he really goddamn is, isn't he? So he's going to let that go ahead rather than an interim belt happening or be brought in. But the thing about that is, though, that when he comes back, if he becomes the champion again, which, let's be honest, it's a big if, he will be a two-time champion. What have defended the belt? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? It does change things a little bit, and he'll be becoming a challenger and stuff like that. I and this is just me probably being a company man, but if you think about it from the UFC's perspective, we already had Glover versus Jan Blachowicz. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Glover
went through him pretty easy, didn't he? With respect to Jan, maybe it was a bad night at the office, whatever. All we know is the results that happened that night. Glover took him down, choked him out pretty easily. So, of course, I understand Glover wanting that fight. But I kind of get why the UFC would want to give a new fight that we haven't seen as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially because that fight was already put together. Glover kind of became Glover ended up being the odd man out. So if he doesn't kind of play by their rules and do kind of what they want, I understand them already seeing that fight once before. So, essentially they'd be doing him a favor by giving him an opponent that he's already beaten before. So if he's able to beat him again and then Jiří comes back, then maybe we see Glover, Jiří 2 for when Glover's the champ again. So I see both sides of it. I'm kind of good with it, though. I think that the Blachowicz Ankalaev fight was already going to be a fantastic fight. It's just now it's for 5 rounds, which I think benefits Ankalaev.
And then obviously, you're a fighter. You're in the division. You're ranked number 5. We'll get to your fight coming up shortly as well. That was just announced with Jamal Hill. What does this do to you mentally as well? Because obviously there's just been a shakeup in the division. The champion stepped away. Does that like excite you? Does that, bring out these positive emotions?
Well, it gets 4 guys out of the way for sure.
Yeah.
So if no matter who wins, if to say Ankalaev wins, I've already fought Ankalaev, but he'd be the champion. So then Blachowicz would be coming off a loss. Then Rakic is coming back pretty soon, but he's still coming off a loss. And then that leaves me and Glover. So no matter what, if Ankalaev wins, my next fight is a rematch, whether it's for the title or whether it's Glover Teixeira, who knows. But and then if you flip that, then Blachowicz wins, then Ankalaev's coming off a loss. Blachowicz is a new matchup for me that I haven't had yet. I think it shortens my path. I guess that's my answer. Yeah. It shortens my path and gets a couple guys out of the way.
So basically you go through Jamal Hill, do it in style, like I'm sure you're planning on doing, and you're fighting for the belt.
Yeah, good. Yeah. There's definitely a world that exists where that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is fucking exciting. So obviously Jamal Hill is the opponent. Anthony, come on, the floor is yours. This is your fight. How are you feeling for the fight? How do you feel about the matchup? How are you guys personally? Is there any bad blood? Is there any beef? Can we stir the pot? Can we chat a lot of shit? Can we get this podcast mentioned on all the news sites? Anthony, go ahead. The floor is yours.
You know, as far as the fight goes, I'm really excited. It's a top ranked guy. He's got a lot of momentum. He's got some hype behind him. He's beat a couple big names. And I'm just ready to get back at it. You know, I'm sick of sitting on my ass. So that's exciting. And as far as the matchup goes, he is, with all respect to him, he's a very interesting fighter. He does a lot of things unconventional. By unconventional, I mean wrong. But it works for his style, you know? So he's kind of unpredictable because he doesn't react the way that maybe you typically would expect him to react in a normal fight. So he's obviously got power in his hands. He's a crafty southpaw. He kind of hinges at the waist differently. And you know, you got to be patient with that guy. He's a nasty counter puncher. He's got lots of patience. He doesn't really rush anything. He's got big power in his hands and he believes in his chin. So those guys are tough to deal with. Guys with big power that believe in their own ability to take damage, those guys are tough to deal with. I think I got an advantage on the ground. I think in the jiu-jitsu for sure, grappling, wrestling, the clinch. I think I have the advantage there. I think that I'm the more technical striker. He's probably more powerful. Yeah. I would suspect.
Maybe.
But yeah. Personally, I like that guy. Actually, you know, we had him
oh,
on
nice.
Here.
Nice. Good.
I thought we had a really good laugh with him on here. That was us.
Oh, look at you guys.
Yeah, that's him and I and Matt in New York City when we were there for MSG. He was just there hanging out when he came nice. On my. We did a live radio show broadcast and he came and hung out. We had a couple beers afterwards and it was kind of weird because everyone was asking us like, "Well, who are you guys gonna be fighting next?" But we knew all the whole time that it was him that we were fighting each other. So, but it was cool. He's a cool.
That's
dude.
Nice. That's nice. You know, so it's nice and professional. Do you prefer that? Do you or is it nice? I'm trying to think what I used to prefer. I think I preferred it if there was a little bit of shit. You know what I mean? Because it would motivate me a little bit more. What's your mindset?
I would prefer that we got along, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just less stressful. And I don't carry any additional energy into the... I don't need any reason to get up for a fight, you know? I'm down for a good old-fashioned get down anytime. So I don't need to be mad at you to do that. And it's just, I don't know. It just makes the whole experience smoother. Like, we don't have to be separated constantly in the back. People aren't uncomfortable. UFC security likes it. Like, we can fist bump and have a drink.
It's fun, though. It's fun. It's fun when there's a little bit of shit talk. I mean, because you know what these websites are like. You said the wrong thing and it gets taken out of context. Like, say, I have better jiu-jitsu than Jamal Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You said that. That's the headline.
I did say that.
Jamal Hill.
Does everything wrong.
Exactly. All you got to do is say one sentence like that and it's done. And then he reads that and he's like, go fuck yourself. You said to Brian that he sent you something. Was it all just, what did he send you?
Who?
Jamal?
No.
You sent it to Brian, didn't you? Oh.
No.
It was that picture I put up.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was that picture. Sorry. Yeah. Pardon me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think he's a lot like me. He doesn't need any reason to kick the shit out of me. You know what I mean? So I don't see any reason for us to hate each other or have any beef or whatever. Let's go. Yeah, yeah. We'll go get done. And, you know, when he first came into the UFC, I think we were in Raleigh at the Raleigh event. And it was a while ago. And, you know, I'm friends with Brian Butler, his manager. And so Brian introduced me to him and he's just a kind of a real green guy. And I gave him some advice, you know, in the hotel lobby, we're having a beer and kind of just, I don't know, laid the land out for him a little bit. And to be fair, he's always appreciated that. He's always thanked me for that every time I see him.
Right. Well, good.
I'm still going to beat him up though.
Oh no, for sure. 100%. When the referee says fight, that's it. But, well, that's nice. It makes a nice change. And he is a cool guy. So you were on that episode, were you, when he came on? Cause he was awesome. He had some good stories.
His street fighting stories were hilarious.
Yeah. A lot of street fighting stories. Well, we're looking forward to it, Anthony. It's going to be good having you back in action. Keep us updated throughout the training camp. Paulo Costa is always very entertaining on Twitter. Harrington, he came after me. You guys stirring the pot because Paulo never, he didn't at me. He didn't tag me. But do you know what I want to know?
Is it true
that, what was the prediction in the Simpsons picture?
So Elon Musk tweeted out that the Simpsons predicted that he would buy Twitter. Season 26, episode 12.
So they did, but hold on. The Simpsons have predicted so many things that have come true. It's mental. Like, they predicted Donald Trump as president, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What else?
Right down to how he announced his running. You know what I mean? Like, almost to the point where Trump might have watched that Simpsons episode and said, you know, that's a good idea.
Anyway, so go on. Give us the lowdown. What's Paulo talking about?
So Paulo Costa said, hey, Elon, please buy TikTok and delete it. And then he thought about it and said, please buy a new eye to Bisping and give him a retirement form at UFC host.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out. I wasn't sure. Is he talking shit? Is he being nice? Please buy Bisping a new eye. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Is that so he can walk away, retire from the UFC because he doesn't want to hear my commentary? I think that's what he means, right? Fuck you, Paulo. There's your fucking headline, Anthony. That's how you do it.
If you got a new eye, what would you having a new eye have anything to do with you still doing commentary?
Nothing was just trying to be funny. He's having a laugh.
Well, it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny. He's
Did you see the thing he said to Izzy?
No.
Oh God.
Harrington, Paulo has been going off on social media. Go on, what did he say?
Harrington, do you got that up or no?
Okay, I'm frantically searching. Sorry.
Oh my God. It is
what?
It starts off like he has something really nice to say about Izzy, and then it ends really fucking funny. I just can't wait till they find it, because I'll
might have deleted it. Oh, let's have a look. Yeah. So Izzy is genuinely a nice guy. I remember we're doing a meet and greet, signing autographs and taking pictures before UFC 253 Abu Dhabi. Just before we finish and go out, a baby starts to cry in the queue. Adesanya clocked this and gently asked the mother if him could help her with the problem. He gently grabbed the baby, sat down in his seat with the baby on his knees. He pulled up his shirt and breastfed the baby there and then. True hero. If that doesn't speak to someone's personality, then I don't know what will. Oh, God.
The fact that the tweet was headlined with much respect is the best part.
Oh, dear.
So funny.
We never talked about this Blachowicz versus Magomed Ankalaev, Anthony. Who do you see winning that? What do you think?
I think Blachowicz wins. And that's not a knock. If I was trying to knock on Ankalaev or big myself up, I would just lie and say I thought Ankalaev won, was going to win, which would make me look better. But
yeah.
excuse me. I think that Blachowicz is the bigger fighter for sure. Ankalaev isn't super active on his feet. And versus lesser opponents, guys that really aren't on his level, he just walks them to the octagon fence, walks them down, and then he essentially takes away their exits. And he's got a real tricky kind of lead hook jab kind of combination where he just paws a lot with his right hook, right jab, and it's fast. But it's all kind of set up with the assumption that you think he's going to shoot on you. So when he fought me, guys that in the top five aren't intimidated by you. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. You can bully and kind of intimidate and walk around and walk down lesser opponents because they have so many other things they're thinking about or they're worried about, or they don't even realize all the time that they're getting walked back to the fence, or they don't have an answer for if you just decide to stick your back foot in the fucking canvas and say, and draw a line and say, I'm not fucking moving from here. You start fighting down in the rankings, a lot of those guys won't do that. So against those guys, he's a bully. And he didn't do that to me because I have an answer. You know, I stuck my foot down and you're not going to walk me to the fence. You're not going to bully me and push me around. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that to Blachowicz.
Interesting.
Blachowicz deals with kicks really well. Ankalaev does like a good rear kick. So he sets a lot of stuff up off of that. I think Blachowicz will deal with that well. Blachowicz got fantastic takedown defense. I just think he's the bigger, stronger guy, and I don't think it's going to be low action probably though.
Would in a perfect world, Jan Blachowicz wins the fight, Magomed breaks his leg.
Oh my God. his ankle.
Ankalaev. He get Ankalaev. Oh, shit. All right, Harrington, what have we got? What's the big stories right now? Obviously, that was the big one last week. That was quite the shock. But
just put it in the notes.
Oh,
breaking news. Breaking news happened while the show's been going on.
Really?
Alex Pereira went on Ariel's show, and he said, all right, Hamzat, you want to fight me in Brazil? I just did a weight cut to 185. Let's do it at 205. Come down to Brazil, and let's do it. Hamzat said he wanted no part of that fight.
No.
Where did he say that at?
That's what Pereira said. Pereira says he went, I will look up the exact quote here. I went to my manager and said, look, I just did a hard weight cut. I can't make 185 for this right now, but tell UFC I'll challenge him to fight at 205 at UFC 283 in Rio. Chimaev didn't want it. That's what Pereira
first said. First of all, Anthony, what do you think about this? There's no way. There's no way on earth that Chimaev just tried to cut down to 185 and couldn't do it. Because that takes a lot of preparation. It takes time.
No. That Pereira cut to 185 and couldn't do it again.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that Pereira. Oh. That's what I meant. Yeah. There's no way. Who the fuck cuts weight when you don't have a fight? There's just anyone that talks about that shit, they're out of their mind. Do you believe Pereira went and just did a test weight cut and said, oh, I can't get 185, let's do 205?
No, I think he's talking about the fight with Adesanya. I think that it's that tough that I think it's still bothering him.
Oh, really? What, you think he's trying to fight somebody else?
I think that Chimaev has talked a lot of shit. I think he's gotten under his skin. Mm. I think Hamzat got under his skin. Why don't you just call Hamzat? I'll text him.
Jesus, Anthony coming text after him. Me today. I'll text
no, just,
him.
Just text him and ask him if he turned down the Pereira fight.
I don't think I've got his number.
Text Darren. You know they're together.
Yeah, well, they're probably in a bed together. I've got his email. It'll take a while, but I will reach out. I will follow up on that one. That's interesting. I don't believe. I mean, who knows? Well, number one, I think the UFC would want the rematch, Izzy and Pereira. I don't think, yes. I mean, he's the champion. They can't force him to fight people.
Maybe Hamzat just wants a title. Maybe he just doesn't want a regular-ass fight.
I was going to say, I don't believe that Hamzat would say no. Yes, Hamilton, more details?
Well, that fight wouldn't be for a title because it would be at 205 pounds. So this would be a non-title fight. You would still be open to do Izzy versus Pereira for a rematch, and you could still do Hamzat for any of the titles at 170 or 85 after that fight.
Harrington, put your hat back on.
Oh, Brian comes on and he goes, as if like, I have something big to say. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a classic one-liner. And it was, but it was just to make fun of Harrington. Harrington, you just interrupted the flow of the show, the number one MMA podcast, to give us a little bit of bullshit. Pereira's talking out of his ass. He's not the 205-pound champion. He wouldn't be for a belt. You just debunked your own myth. Do you know what I mean? We're talking about absolute bloody codswallop. Do you know the word codswallop?
Codswallop.
Codswallop.
Codswallop. Okay.
Garbage. Codswallop.
Garbage.
Who said that? Jason Mayhem Miller is garbage.
I don't know.
Robbie Lawler, bro.
Robbie Lawler. I love that guy.
Oh, me too. Who doesn't? And he's back in action when? Oh, UFC 282. Did you see this thing with Paddy the Baddy? He was out walking the dog.
Yes, it's fucking awesome.
This is great. Go on, press play, Brian. Let's have a look at him. This was great. And you got to give it to Paddy because this is actually... You know, someone's a good guy when their dog shits on the floor and they go to the effort of like ringing the doorbell to say, hey guys,
right?
My dog's done a slimy shit.
Hello?
Hello, look, my dog's just had like a sloppy shit outside. I was just wondering if you got some water. I don't want to leave it outside.
That's Paddy the Baddy.
It is.
I'm 5 minutes away from home. Don't worry, I'll clean it.
You sure? I feel terrible. You know what I mean?
No, it's all right.
You just had a proper sloppy shit and I can't even pick it up with a poo bag. Know what I mean?
Don't worry, I'll clean it when I get in.
Thank you very much once again. I'm sorry about that. I hate doing stuff like that. That's why I knocked on.
Go on, see you later.
Go on. Number one, those rings are amazing. They're so handy to have. Paddy, picking up the dog shit.
Yeah, I love it.
The same thing, Anthony?
No. If you can pick it up with your, like, yes, if my, when we're walking the dogs, if they take a shit in someone's yard, I pick that shit up and we tie a little knot in it. But if it's like, you know, it's a sloppy shit, what are you supposed to do? I don't know if I'd ring anyone's doorbell at night.
Yeah.
Probably like a bottle of water, I might just squirt it or something.
He's been a good Samaritan. He's been a good neighbor. Ooh. Being a man of the people.
I got a question.
Oh, go on.
If you're walking your dog, right? And your dog has, you know, your dog uses the bathroom. You pick up the shit.
Yeah.
And you continue to walk with the bag of shit.
Yeah.
If one of your neighbors has the trash can at the curb.
Oh, I'm putting it in that. I do it all the time. Rebecca tells me not to. Rebecca gives me shit for doing it. I'm always throwing my bags of shit in the neighbor's dustbin.
Me too.
All the time.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
I think it's
my wife does not.
No, same. But I
wouldn't
say,
get mad if someone did it to me.
I mean, especially if it was going out and the bins were getting emptied that day.
Yeah, as long as it's in a bag and it's tied up and it's
sometimes I'm not getting emptied that day, but I just don't want to carry a bag of shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just find one of the neighbor's dustbins and throw it in. But that story reminded me of, this is an old one. I might have said it before on the show years ago, but I used to have a dog called Sam. And we were walking to pick up Callum and Ellie from playgroup. So this is like 2002 or something like that. God knows. Long time ago. And as we're walking along, Sam stops and does a shit, right? And as he's taking a shit, this old lady's walking by and she clocks it. She sees it. And I don't have any bags on me. There's nothing I can do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We get the kids. It's only around the corner, the playgroup. Kindergartens, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we get them. We walk home. As we're walking in the house, literally as we're just going through the front door, the dog has a seizure, has a major freak out, foaming at the mouth, and dies, right? Dies right then and there as we're walking in the house, yeah. Shits its own pants, right? Defecated itself. I'm heartbroken, right? My dog's just fucking died, you know? 10 minutes later, knock at the door. It's the local council. The old woman had seen me not pick up the dog shit, called the authorities on me. So they come round to issue me a fine. I'm crying my eyes out. And I'm like, Are you serious? The dog's dead. And they were like, they thought I was coming up with the most elaborate bullshit ever to just get out of paying it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, I'm crying my eyes out. They're like, anyway, it just reminded me of
that. Did they give you a ticket?
No, they didn't. Okay. So there you go. There's a good little story for you. That's a way to get out.
Way to fucking bring that down. That's terrible.
Oh, no. Sam was a pain in the ass, man. He used to attack everything. Anyway, enough of that. All right, let's just talk about Manscaped real quick. Listen, you know by now, Manscaped are leading the way, the world's leader in men's below-the-waist grooming. Yes, the lawnmower 4.0 latest iteration, great battery life. You can trim all your stuff and you're not going to hurt yourself. You're not going to cut yourself. You're not going to be bleeding from your penis next time you're just doing a bit of grooming. So I really strongly recommend it. Okay. But there's a bunch of different packages that you can get right now. You can get the Platinum Package 4.0, which is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling performance package. Plus, you get the Ultra Premium Body Wash, the Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, and the Ultra Premium Deodorant. The performance package, as I said, it has the 4.0. It has the weed whacker, which is the nose and ear hair trimmer as well. Plus all the shower gear, it's all vegan, sulfate free. Leave your skin feeling all nice and hydrated and fresh. The crop preserver, which is a ball deodorant. If you've got smelly balls, that's a thing of the past. The platinum package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, why don't you add in the brand new Body Buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than the old loofah. You do feel nice when you have a good exfoliate. And yes, you're probably thinking, Bisping, you're a lying bastard. You have never exfoliated once in your life. Well, you're wrong. Oh, I do love to exfoliate. I love feeling so smooth and clean, and you can do too. So go to manscaped.com today. All the shit I just said, Christmas presents galore, presents for yourself, and you're going to get it at 20% off. Manscaped.com. The code is Bisping. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. Manscaped.com. Use the code Bisping, 20% off. Well, our guest last week, Brendan Loughnan, did well at the weekend. Shout out Brendan Loughnan. Got to give him a special mention. Beautiful performance against Bubba. Did you manage to catch it, Anthony?
I did. I watched the whole goddamn event just to watch him.
Same.
So happy for that guy. So happy. He looked fantastic, too. It was nasty.
I've never seen a guy switch stances so much in my life.
I know. That kid, I'd never really watched him fight or anything. I'm a fan. I enjoyed every second of it.
Oh, no, the high output. I mean, the takedown defense, it was very unorthodox because he was doing what I would say was the wrong thing. But he was defending takedowns and escaping every time.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly not wrong. It works for him. He's obviously got his own unique style of doing that. Do you know what really got me was when his mom came in the cage and he said, "Remember, mom, when we didn't have a pound in the bank? And now look at us, standing there with $1 million. I mean, what a feeling."
That's a story that's somewhat unique to MMA. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's stories out there where athletes and football players and basketball players came from nothing and made something of themselves. But by and large, a lot of us kind of came from nothing and didn't have a lot until we had a lot. So, it's just one of those teary moments, you know, you're like fucking happy for that guy. You know, like even, I don't know, there's guys that I don't typically like that much that I'm, you know, you see some success or them kind of overcome something. Like even it takes me back to Rockhold, to be honest with you, where all he ever wanted was some respect and all he ever wanted was people to like him, you know, and then he gets in this wild barn burner with Paulo Costa and Nick. Now he's like beloved. I'm kind of happy for him that people like him. You know what I mean?
Bless him. I'm happy as well. Shout out, Luke. Hope you're well. And shout out, of course, to Brendan Loughnan. Harrington, give us a big MMA story. The biggest story ever that people are losing their minds for.
Okay.
Kayla Harrison. Well, it's got to be.
For sure. Yeah, you nailed it. Kayla Harrison. She was 15-0 heading into this fight. No
PFL
more.
PFL talk, guys. Jeez Louise. You know what I mean? We're trying to keep the people invested somewhat. Do you know what I mean? UFC, baby. We talked, Brendan. We did it. I loved it. It's great. Kayla got beat by Pacheco. Well, go on. What's your point, Harrington?
No, I really didn't have one. I was hoping Anthony would pick up the slack on that.
No, I didn't. I was just being funny.
No, she got beat. Pacheco's good. I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about Brendan's fight only. That was it. That was the highlight. That was the main event. It was done for me after that. I went to bed. I watched Kayla. She did lose a very close decision. It's a close fight. It was back and forth. I think she underestimated her. Kayla Harrison's a big, tough girl. So is that Pacheco. Fucking hell. Anyway, there you go. There's your roundup. Give me a story, bro. Go.
Okay, how about this? Conor McGregor might be in his feelings a little bit, staying up late, watching old fights and you know, calling on Anthony Smith because he's dealing with yet another lawsuit that's making him lose sleep. This time from former training partner Artem Lobov, who says he is entitled to around $30 million or 5% of the total $600 million sale of Proper Number 12 whiskey because, according to Artem, the whole thing was his idea.
Yep. Excuse me. Did you see that? Obviously, you must have read up on this. You must have seen that. They used to be friends. They were very close friends, weren't they? You know, and that was the reason. That was the reason the whole bloody Khabib feud started, because I forget what Khabib was saying to Artem. Artem jumps on the jet with all the lads and it all kicks off. So it's sad to see. It's a shame to see. Who fucking knows? Maybe he did come up with the name. I don't know. We don't know the details. But he better have that on a piece of paper somewhere.
I've heard that story before, though, where Artem's done interviews, and maybe even Connor said it. I'm not 100% sure about that part, but I feel like I've heard them both tell stories where they were having a conversation, and Artem did come up with the idea, I don't know if it was the name or the idea, Proper Number 12. And then he went on to say that he's never asked Connor for anything, that Connor's tried to pay him for training camps, and he's never taken a dollar from Connor. And then now he wants lots of dollars. So I don't know.
I'm not really picking a side, but
it is too bad that they go from such good friends to lawsuits. But I did see Connor's little voice note. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
where he's where
Artem is a rat hat. Na 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 na. Hey, na 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 na. Hey, yeah. Well, money's the root of all evil.
That seems dangerous for Connor, though.
Why?
Who knows every deep, dark secret you have, Michael Bisping?
Oh, yeah. Fucking no one, thank God.
Well, if anybody knew him, it'd be your best friend.
Yeah. It'll be fucking Artem, the wee bastard. The bastards, fucking Artem Lobov, with the fucking lawsuit against your friend. We've got nothing to talk about, Harrington. What's going on in these goddamn notes? We've got fights this weekend. I'm excited. You going to be in Orlando?
No, I'm not. Are you going?
I'm going, yeah.
Fuck.
Come on, bro.
I need a day off every once in a while. You got all the days off, and I'm just here. I'm here grinding away so I can pay the bills here at the BYM. Keep the lights on.
Fucking get some lights. Never mind. Keep the lights on. Get some lights. Send the man some artwork. I'll be there. It's a good fight card. Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland, Taito Avarsa, Sergey Pavlovich.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. That Pavlovich is a hard-hitting motherfucker.
Yeah, he's beat Derek Lewis last, right?
Yeah. Knocked him out first round.
Yeah. Derek argued the stoppage, but either way, he is huge. I kept trying to crack jokes with him because at the press conference, at the weigh-in, and then in the checkout. You know what? Funny story. I kicked Pavlovich out of my locker room, though, my last fight.
Sergey Pavlovich?
Yeah, I kicked him out of my locker room because
What was he doing?
No, no problem with him. He seems like a super nice guy.
Disrespectful.
But him and Ankalaev were like super buddy-buddy all week long. Like, you know, they're both Russian. They were it's very clear that they're friends. And so I kept cracking jokes with him like through his translator while we were at the press conference and the weigh-ins and all that stuff because he fought right before or right after me. So when they line you up, we're always right next to each other. So I kept telling his translator, like, ask him how he got so fucking big. Because, like, his features are big. Like, his fingers are, like, twice as big around his mind. Like, he's just a huge man. So I was messing with him. But then we showed up for the fight night, and him and I were in the same locker room. So it was like, but he kept going out into the hallway and, like, chit-chatting and hanging out with Ankalaev. And I was like, no way. Like, this is too weird. Like, I'm not liking this shit. So not that I thought they were trying to do anything.
No.
It was just uncomfortable because I'm like trying to get game. I'm trying to, you know, we're game planning. We're warming up. We're trying to get in the zone. And like his buddies over here. So I just asked the UFC if they'd move him.
Yeah. Hey, well, he knows now.
Yeah, he's going to beat the shit out of me this season, yeah, probably.
Because he is a bitch.
I'm such a bitch, too, because when they came to me, I left. Well, no, when they asked him to leave, or like they told him he had to leave, I left.
Right. So you knew that was going to happen. Is that as you go to the toilet, they're coming in now.
I'm such a pussy.
He's a big dude, though. Hey, yeah. But you know what? To be fair, it's like that. You know, when you're getting ready for a fight, and obviously the energy's going to be correct. When you're backstage in the locker room,
exactly,
you want the energy, you want everyone cool, calm, a nice vibe, maybe a bit of music on, whatever, you know, no bad energy, no fucking strangers, no potentially people sending information back to your opponent on what you're doing, what you're working on, when you're warming up, which I'm sure he wasn't doing, but...
No, yeah. I don't think he was, but like you said, I think you put it perfectly. It was just bad energy.
Yeah,
it was just, it was weird, I didn't like it, and it just, I couldn't focus on it. It was driving me crazy.
Let me ask you this. Does Taito Avarsa get to do a shoe it on Saturday night? Because Ty was on a 5-fight knockout streak, lost to Cyril Garn, went up against Pavlovich. No, who did he fight? Oh, it was Cyril Garn. That was his last fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's fighting Sergey Pavlovich, of course. I mean, both these guys, Ty and Sergey, they fight one way. They're heavy-handed, the pair of them. They knock motherfuckers out. I don't think we're going to see Taito Avarsa fucking doing double leg takedowns and stuff like that. I think we're going to see a slugfest, and whoever lands that big shot first is probably going to be the victor. Does Ty get to do a shoey?
I don't know. I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so. And I like Ty a lot. And I feel like an asshole because the last couple times I've been picking against him. But it's not him. It's just he's swimming with sharks right now. And a lot of it is his body type. There's a lot of it. He's He's a little bit shorter for the division. And all he and although he's heavy, like he's at that 265 kind of limit, he doesn't, like when I stand next to him, I don't feel like he's a huge dude. Like Pavlovich is so big, he made me uncomfortable. Like he's just so much bigger than I am.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that when I'm standing next to Ty. So it's just his composition's different. So he just seems like a smaller man.
Yeah, Ty is weird because Ty's not the tallest. I don't know what he is, probably 5'11", something like that. Yeah. But if you see the size of the legs and the ass on him, he's a big, heavy guy, obviously. I think he cuts to make 265. Yeah. But I'm with you. When you're with him, I feel like I'm the same size as him. Yeah. I feel like I'm bigger than him because I'm a little bit taller. He doesn't seem that big. But then when you see him in his shorts and all the stuff off, he's wide, he's thick, he's solid. But yeah, I do know exactly what you're saying. But just looking at the fight card here, Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland, obviously you're not going to be on Thursday's show. I'm going to get some quick picks off you. Stephen Thompson, Kevin Holland, go ahead.
I think I like Stephen Thompson in this fight. It's hard to pick against Stephen Thompson against a pure striker. Until he starts to age more, you know what I mean? Like he's not a young man by any means. So at some point in time, Father Time's going to catch up with him. And it's going to slow him down a little bit. But if Stephen Thompson is in shape, he's uninjured and his weight cut goes well, I would favor him over pretty much any pure striker in the UFC. So, or at least definitely in the welterweight division, maybe not the entire UFC, but definitely welterweight. So I don't see Kevin Holland shooting takedowns. I don't see Kevin Holland looking to grapple. It's anytime he does, it's because the other person initiated it. So I do, man, Stephen Thompson's a dog too. You know, I've trained with him a few times and I was really shocked at he's clearly very gritty or very, very technical, very pretty, very, you know what I mean? Like he fights very pretty. But when he has to, like, he'll dogfight, and he makes it real tough. He's put me to my knees a couple times with body shots.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. No, I'm such a fan of his. I mean, he's just the nicest guy, isn't he? Let's be honest. Yeah. And it's not fake. It's not an act. That's just who he genuinely really is.
That's one thing after I trained with him that I wanted to get out. Like, I talked about it any chance I got. Like, that is not fake. That is just who he is. Cameras are off behind the scenes in the gym when the lights are off and it's closed and we're sitting around chit-chatting. That's the same fucking guy.
The nicest guy. But I'm telling you, when he fought Jeff Neal, that performance that he put on was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how technical his striking was, his footwork, his shot selection, everything. But the reality is, and it sounds like I'm trying to do a disservice to him because I'm not. If you look at his record, which I'm doing right now, he's only won 3 out of his last 9 fights. You know, obviously that's not what we're trying to achieve. You know, that's not the results he's looking for. He's 39, but he's fighting the best. I mean, Bilal Muhammad, that was his last fight. Bilal's fucking strong as an ox and out grappling everybody, unless you call Sean Brady, he'll knock you out. Gilbert Burns, again, Gilbert took him down, controlled him, of course. Pettis knocked him out. And then Darren Till, that close one. He's got the 2 wins against Jeff Neal and Vicente Luque in there. I agree with you. You know, Kevin Holland, I don't think he's going to come out and wrestle too much because he just doesn't seem to be that guy. Love Kevin Holland as well. Very different energy than Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But Kevin Holland's awesome. Do you know Kevin much?
We've chit-chatted a little bit. Not too well, but I've always enjoyed every interaction I've had with him. He's super funny. He's really laid back and chill. Like there doesn't seem to be a lot of things that bother that guy. But when he fought Derek Brunson, did you work that one? Did you call that fight?
I don't believe so.
He was screaming at Habib in the
That's right. That's right. He was having a conversation with Khabib whilst he was having the fight, and in the corner he was talking to Khabib and stuff like that. A little bit distracted.
That was gonna say he can lose focus. It's almost like he's so relaxed. Sometimes he can almost be too relaxed where he loses focus on what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to be careful how I word this because I'm a big fan of the guy.
So am I.
Yeah. Sometimes he seems to subconsciously, not prioritize, but like puts a show on more. I'm sure he hasn't sat there consciously and said, I'm going to prioritize the show over the win. You know what I mean? But he's a showman first. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And of course, he's a martial artist and a fighter. But sometimes if he was just a little bit more dialed in, maybe that would improve the performances. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. If he was a little meaner, you know, if he was It doesn't. Sometimes I just think like, could you just turn up the anger just a little bit, like. Like, just be a little nastier, Kevin.
Who was he nearly fighting? Who did he? Kamaru at the last pay-per-view. Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah. Well, it was Kamaru. It was Khamzat. It was Nate Diaz. All of those guys were beefing hard.
Yeah, yeah. Holland doesn't care. I love it. But that's what happened with the Holland-Khamzat fight, right? That was the 281 press conference or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know RJ, right? That works for the UFC.
RJ Cliff, yeah.
So RJ was right there when that whole beef was happening.
Right.
And he told me something that gave me a lot of respect for Kevin Holland. It was Khamzat and his 47 people that travel with him. It was Nate Diaz and the 117 people that travel with him. It was, who's the other one? Was someone else there? Someone else was there. Whoever was in that beef. But it's all those guys with these huge crews and just Kevin Holland by himself, scrapping like by his lonesome. I thought that was a fucking cool story.
Yeah, no, it is. God bless him. God bless him. We're going to get Kevin on the show again. We've had him on a few times. He asked me to go on his podcast. I will do that, but I was in Bulgaria. He said, next week, I'll come see you, Mike. I went, I'm in Bulgaria. It's a bit of a trek, but I'll get back. All right. Harrington, throw something at us, please. For the love of God, don't make it stupid.
Okay. There's a bunch of
ways. You see the regret on his face? It's like,
that was about to be stupid.
I can't do the stupid one. I was gonna ask about one fight way down on that card, but
please.
If you're gonna give me the chance to, Mark Diaz versus Michael Johnson.
Oh,
what do you guys think about this fight? Because I'm just seeing that this matchup is on there. I'm super hyped for it. I want to get your take on it.
Yeah. It's such a shame because I know both guys. Michael Johnson, I have so much respect for him. The body of work, the career that he's had. And he was so open. I don't know if you saw some of his comments because he went through a bit of a rough stint. He was losing some fights and he said, I've got no money. I'm broke. I've lost all my friends. People are just fake. And, you know, and he was very honest and raw and open. And I had so much respect for him. So I was so happy to see him come back and get a win. I forget who we last fought. But Marjorie Casey, obviously, English guy. I know him well. You know, I've known him for years. We had my coach used to coach him as well. You know, my coach Daz. It's one of those. You hate to see this fight happen because one of them is going to lose. But I tell you what, do you know who wins, Harrington? Anthony. Do you know who wins?
The fans.
The fans.
There's another one like that too coming up.
Go on.
Drew Dober, Bobby Green.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
when's that?
It's not this upcoming weekend. It's December 17th, maybe.
Right.
But you just made me think of it because it's one of those fights where I don't want to, you know, me and Bobby came up through Strikeforce together. There's only a couple of us Strikeforce guys really left. And so we've always had a connection over that. I love that dude. I love watching him fight. But me and Drew Dober had our amateur fights, our first amateur, like our amateur debut on the same night.
What
same
year card. Was that?
06.
06.
Yeah. Like neither one of us were even 18 yet, I don't think. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we were both like 17. His mom came and signed a waiver. And I lied. It was wild.
That's so crazy. Like,
just a Nebraska guy at heart, and I love him. So it's like, I don't want to watch him. The fans are going to win for sure because that's going to be a goddamn barn burner. But, yeah. I don't want to see either one of those guys lose. Yeah, kind of like the Giacchese-Michael Johnson fight.
Yeah, it's always tough. You know, for Giacchese, he's a great striker. Very, very explosive. But last few fights, he's turned into a wrestler. So I wonder if he's going to do that against Michael Johnson. Anyway, Harrington.
I would.
Throw us a good story, something meaty, something we can get our teeth into, something that we can really flex our intellectual prowess with.
Okay, well, speaking of wrestler, I want to get your take on this. Henry Cejudo says that John Jones is a significantly better wrestler than Curtis Blaydes, and if that matchup does happen for the interim title, it's going to be a blessing in disguise, easy money for John Jones if those two were to fight.
Cejudo said that? They're both very good wrestlers. I don't know what Curtis Blaydes' accolades are. He uses it very effectively in the octagon. Jones has time after time after time shown that he can wrestle at the very top level. Brian O'Harrison, just look up their actual wrestling accolades. But I don't think it's I don't know. What do you make of that statement?
Significantly? I don't know if I'd say that.
Yeah.
You got to remember, like, Curtis Blaydes is a natural heavyweight. When John was wrestling in college, you know, I think he was a junior college national champion. I mean, what did he weigh? Wrestle at 197 or like, he's a much smaller guy. The smaller you get, whether it's fighting, wrestling, anything, you're going to be more technical. That's just, you all right there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry,
I'm boring you. No.
Oh. I had a late night last night. I was like, a bit of a yawn, Anthony. No offense.
I do it all the time. I just hide it.
Just a bit of a yawn. I'm sorry, mate. You know,
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, God.
So John is probably more technical because he's a smaller guy. You know, heavyweights fighters or wrestlers, you know, they're just not quite as technical. But I think Curtis Blaydes is more than sufficient skills to deal with John Jones.
I wonder why Cejudo he went down to fight ready, didn't he?
He was training there a little bit.
Yeah. So basically he's gone down there. He's impressed Cejudo. Listen, we all know John Jones can wrestle. Brian's got the official accolades here, which is De La Salle Institute winning a state title his senior year while also compiling an undefeated 44-0 record. That's John Jones. Blaydes won the NCAA Nationals. Oh, that's Curtis, is it? 44-0. Fucking hell. It's pretty impressive. But it's how you put it all together. It's how the octagon. It's how you set it up, you know.
Well, it's about how you mix it together with your striking too, and get to the takedown. Like, I don't suspect we see John Jones just slice through Curtis Blaydes wrestling. Could he get a takedown? For sure.
If you had to put money on who Jones fights next, who do you think? You think it's going to be Curtis Blaydes? Because I know there has been some rumors.
I do.
Yeah. I guess it kind of makes sense.
I don't think they're going to get the Francis deal done, and Stipe's already out. So I don't know who else it would be.
Yeah. Stipe's out. Who else is the Ngannou's still recovering?
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. During his 4 years, Blaydes compiled an overall record of 95-18 with 121 takedowns. Thank you, Brian, for the information there. Yeah, great. All right, Harrington, what else have we got? That was a bad one. There's no conversation point there. It's just like Cejudo's talking shit, bigging up the guy. Said, yeah, he's a better wrestler. Boom. It's a tweet. Okay. It's a tweet, Harrington.
Yeah, that's what MMA journalism is. You report on tweets, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so I got something here from sports outside of the cage. The World Cup has been pretty crazy this week. I don't know if you saw this. Every single player from the Saudi Arabian team that pulled off one of the greatest upsets of all time is going to be getting a Rolls-Royce Phantom valued at $460,000 for winning one 90-minute game of football.
Yeah. Who did they beat? Was it who did
they beat? Argentina.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the number three team in the world.
I mean, I'm just gonna say this. That's nothing to them to buy 11 Phantoms.
Can we find a Saudi oil prince to sponsor the show?
It's nothing to them. It is nothing. But I tell you what, they've banned the beer sales in Saudi Arabia. Have you been keeping an eye on the World Cup, Anthony?
I wasn't until we started talking about it in our group chat, and I was ready for US, you know, the US to put the goddamn smackdown on England, which didn't happen.
It didn't happen either way. It was a fucking awful game. That was one of the worst games of soccer I've ever seen in my goddamn life. It was so boring. It reminded me why I don't watch football, because I saw one of the other games. I think it was, oh God, Ghana versus Portugal, I think, and the second half was unreal. I was like, oh, can't wait for this. It's going to be great. Fucking hell. Passing the ball around for 90 minutes. No scoring. That's the problem. 90 minutes, no one even scores a goal.
Yeah, it was tough to stay focused on, for sure.
Yeah. But the annoying thing is, because I was like, the Americans are going to take this as a victory.
They did too.
Yeah, of course they did.
They did too.
They're like, we get a moral victory because we went to a draw. Sons of bitches.
I want a Rolls Royce. That's what I want.
Yeah. Would you drive a Rolls Royce, Anthony?
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Why?
Like, if you right now could go out, buy a Rolls Royce, the money wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be happy driving around in that thing? I would feel like such a wanker.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely like would.
Biggest dickhead, Brian.
The best part about having the money to buy a $460,000 Rolls Royce is you also have money to not drive your own car.
Well, yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
No, I would drive the shit out of it. I pick my kids up from school. I take it hunting. I do all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I've never.
Would you put the horns on the front?
Duh.
Like, if you took down a big ass ball, would you put the horns on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Really redneck it up. All right, let's just talk about Shopify real quick. If you have a business, a small business, a growing business, whatever size of business, you want to be online. You got to connect to the worldwide audience. 8 billion people out there just waiting to buy your products. But when you think about it, you got to get a website. Then you got to get e-commerce capabilities. You got to connect it all to the bank. It sounds time consuming. It sounds complicated. It sounds expensive. Well, no, not anymore. That is where Shopify comes in, makes everything so easy. Shopify instantly, by the way, lets you accept all major payment methods. It has thousands of integrations and third-party apps from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. More than a store, Shopify connect with your customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day. Also gain insight as you grow. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Look, at the end of the day, we're talking about taking your business, putting it online in a quick, easy way, an affordable way, an understandable way, and not in a way that's going to complicate your life, okay? You got to be online. So many people out there, but this is the way to do it. And by the way, you've got a great offer because you can try this out right now. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to pay. Shopify.com/believe, all lowercase. You get a free 14-day trial. And you get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/believe right now. Shopify.com/believe. All right. Well, a bit of a slower news week this week, so we ain't got too much to debate. Any questions, Brian? A little bit of direction for the show.
I had four questions lined up, but you guys answered two of them throughout the episode. So we do have two questions.
All right, then. Well, if you want to send a question, send it to bympod@gmail.com. You know that by now. And Harrington will annoy you for the next 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Another thing you should know by now is that if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever new episodes drop. And if you're watching a live premiere, hit that like button. Helps us out in that first hour. Also, if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, Brian, please give us the first question. What do we have and who is it from?
All right, so this first question here is from Raul from Spain.
Raul.
Hey, guys. Here Raul from Spain. Greetings. I want you to ask a question. First of all, Anthony, people are saying that you are going to fight with Yamaha Hill. I don't know if it's true, but my question is, I saw you in the podcast talking and kind of good vibe between both of you. So which is your mental process when you are fighting a guy that maybe you have good vibes with him? Also, vibes. Mike, same question for you. I don't know, you tell me, but I guess that you and Child was kind of similar. I don't know. But the same question. When you have been in that kind of situation, which was your mental process? Well, guys, I expect that you could understand my English. Greetings from Spain and have a nice day. Thank you for your show. Bye.
Oh, I can't do a Spanish accent. Yamaha Hill.
Yamaha, yeah.
Yamaha, let's go. What is your mental process? When you're fighting Yamaha, I don't even know what the question was. What's your mental process?
I think it was, what was my mental process for fighting someone that I like? I think that was what he was getting at. Listen, I don't want to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you're not beating me up on pay-per-view or in a main event on ESPN. So it's pretty easy. But I always look at it like that dude's trying to take food off my table. Like, I got a couple kids. I'm getting fucking old. I only got a couple years, three, four years left in this shit. And I gotta get as much food on the table as I possibly can. And I'm not gonna let anybody take, you know, someday, Mike, I want to be like you. I want to, I don't want to get too sappy here, but
no, please.
I don't want to be fucking doing this forever. I don't want to be running my body into fucking car accidents every single day, grinding, chasing this thing that I'll probably get, and it won't be worth it when I get it anyways. But the only way to find that out is to go get it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to lay my head down someday and just be content. And I don't think that I'll ever be able to sleep well at night if I don't just touch the top, even for a day. Even if I can just win it, and I would give it up the next day. It wouldn't even matter. It's not even holding it. I don't give a shit about defending it. I don't give a fuck about carrying it on for 5 years. I just want to fucking win it for one day. And that's why it's so easy for me to fight people that I like, because that title is more important than anything Jamal Hill has, says, does. That's all I want. I just want the fucking belt for one day.
Wow. Wow. You said a lot of good things there. Thank you very much for being so kind. But I mean, you said you want to be content. It never ends. It never, like when I was fighting, of course, yeah, the fact that I won the belt, I'll be honest, it does. The fact that I won the belt, it kind of made it all worth it. I mean, yeah, you know, I set my family up for a better life. And that's ultimately why I got into it. But then, of course, we have our own ego, our own goals, our own missions that we want to accomplish. And that, of course, is what I always wanted to achieve as well. And I was able to do that. But then once you retire, because I used to always be terrified of retiring. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do for business? How am I going to earn money? We have become quite accustomed to this lifestyle that we live. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it isn't going to last forever. So when I stop fighting, how are we going to continue living our life? And it's, you figure it out. And doors open and opportunities present themselves. You know, you got to use your brain and your mind and work fucking hard, you know. But he asked me about Chael. When I fought Chael Sonnen, everyone thought there'd be a ton of shit talk between the two of us. But it was last minute. It was super last minute. I was meant to fight Damian Maia. And then Mark Munoz pulled out of a fight. So they made, Chris Weidman stepped in and fought somebody.
Weidman stepped in and fought Damian Maia.
Yeah, Weidman fought Damian Maia. And then they gave me Chael Sonnen. Yeah, yeah. But it is what it is. You know, we didn't talk any shit. We had like a week, I think, you know.
No
but
shit. Still,
yeah, something like that. A week or two. I think. Brian, thank you.
I mean, that reminded me of something that I had in the notes here that I wanted to ask you guys. Ovin St. Preux has now had to deal with, he's fighting next weekend, UFC 282. He's now had to deal with three different opponents in the span of 10 days. How do you, like, you guys deal with that as fighters?
Just is what it is.
Well, I was going to say before, you know, Anthony was saying, you know, you're trying to get ready for this fight, and all, it's always against yourself. Yourself is the biggest opponent in life, and that's a cliche and it's a cheesy saying that people use these days, but it's true. It's true. We're all competing against our fucking selves. We want to be the best version of ourselves. We want to be as disciplined as we can in training camp. We want to do the miles. We want to do the sparring. We want to not cheat. We want to fucking go early to bed, eat the perfect diet. But doing all that, it's easy to say, but it's hard to fucking do. Do you know what I mean? And yes, different opponents present different challenges. But ultimately, if you could just go there, the best fucking version of yourself, then who gives a fuck who's going to show up? You know, and I think to a certain degree, it sounds like that's the mentality that Ovin St. Preux has.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that any better. There's too much shit to worry about to be worried. Like, once you lose one opponent, they're like, fuck, just make sure someone's fucking there when I get there. Like, I don't give a shit who it is. Just make sure someone shows up, because the only thing worse than dealing with all of the other shit you got to deal with to get there is to get there and no one be there. Like, not to end up not having a fight. That's the worst fucking part. So I just hope he sticks with it and has an opponent at the end of the day.
I think I asked you this recently. Have you had that happen to you? I was very lucky.
Never.
Yeah.
It's never
I feel for guys, you do all that work and then last minute the fight gets pulled. Yeah. Or, you know, we saw it with COVID times happening a lot, you know, mm-hmm. fights getting rescheduled. That's not too bad. I mean, I guess you've done the weight cut and you formulate your training camp to peak on that day. So there is, you know, there is further complications, but if they just push it back 2-3 weeks, at least you know you're still going to fight. Right. You know what I mean? I can only imagine what it's like to go through a training camp, show
like
up to the
Derek Lewis.
Event.
That's happened to him.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's happened to him a couple. Like, when I fought Devin Clark, we ended up being the main event because he was supposed to fight Curtis Blades, and then Blades got COVID or something the night before the fight, or got sick and couldn't fight. And then it's just happened to him again, and he was the one who got sick. So, like, it's weird that as many fights as you and I have, it's never happened. It's happened twice to Derek Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. Do we know what happened to him? Did anything ever come out? Why he pulled out of that fight?
They just had stomach issues.
Stomach issues, that's all I heard. Yeah. Oh, well. Go on, Brian. What else we got, buddy?
All right, we got one more question here from Mr. Jago Lin.
Jago Lin.
BYM, let's go. Just left the pub. Right. Anthony, Michael, this one's for you. Michael, do you reckon that mixing out into a club is better than shooting a wild animal? And then Anthony, do you reckon shooting a wild animal is better than mixing out into a club? Let's fucking go. I want to hear it. Oi, Arrington, fuck off. And your baby.
Yeah, there we go.
And your baby.
Oh, is that what he said? Oh, God, he did. Oh, my God. Because that other guy, they're starting a trend. Fuck you.
It is starting
and a trend. Your baby.
And your baby. Sorry, well, Harrington.
We got to get a shirt. I've got to say, some baby. Guy sent in a bunch of great t-shirt designs as well.
Yeah, I've seen that.
No, some other ones as well that came in at the weekend from this guy in Australia. Oh, my God. You're going to love these designs, Anthony. I'm going to send them to you after this show. Yeah. I'll text. Bro, wait till you see these. They're unbelievable. So they'll be ready for Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Get your merch. I don't know where from, yeah, but we're figuring it out. But what was the question? Having to fuck you and your baby. Oh, yeah, he's asking. If you're DJing at a club, Anthony, it's a beautiful feeling. You're there. You're in the vibe. You're playing your music, everyone's dancing, you're bringing in the next tune, you've lined up the beats perfectly. You know, on DJs, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're bringing it in, you're doing a bit of fucking crossfading, you're mixing, you're bringing it in, everyone's dancing, they're going fucking crazy. Oh, poof, beautiful transition. It feels good, it's nice. But is that better than shooting a fucking innocent animal that's out there?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Is it, you know, little Bambi? Taking a first step.
I've never shot a young animal. I only take mature animals, ones that have lived good lives and taste good.
And they deserve to die.
Fuck. Well, when you say it like that, by the way, it's all about the words. It's all about the words.
I'm joking. I don't give a shit. If you want to go, I don't care. I don't care. I really don't.
Well, it's the way that people say it, like, is killing an animal.
You people.
I didn't say you people. I said the way that people. I said people.
Right. I thought you said you people. If they were,
if he was to say, is it more fun to mix in a club or go hunting? I'm like, oh, hunting. But then he's like, is it more fun to mix in a club or kill an animal? Like, fucking say it like that.
It does when you say it like that. It sounds awful.
When you say it like that, kill an animal.
Yeah.
Hunting is fun, though.
I'm sure it is. We gotta go. We're all gonna go. We're gonna do the BYM lives. We're gonna come on it and
we're gonna stream
the camping trip. Yeah. We're gonna do the fucking the razors.
Yeah.
We're doing it next year. We have a lot of things on the docket, but we also want to answer your questions. bympod@gmail.com. We need more. Brian, yes.
I was just going to pressure Anthony into setting a date.
Whatever.
You can't pressure anyone because I can't confirm a date either. So shut up, Brian.
We could start here's what we could do. Deer hunting and like elk hunting, like that's all a season. So we'd have to, our schedules would have to line up in that season.
I couldn't shoot a deer.
Could you shoot a wild hog though?
A pig?
A wild hog.
I mean, if it was running at me, snarling. in a really aggressive manner. Looked like he was going to tusk me.
Yeah.
I'd do it then in self-defense. I just don't think I could. If I'm being totally honest, if I look through my sights and I see a majestic beast.
It's not a majestic beast. They're dirty, nasty animals that do millions and millions of dollars of damage to crops and farmland. And it's really bad for the people, and they're invasive.
Yeah.
And they reproduce faster than you can kill them. So you'd actually be doing a service for the poor farmers of Middle America.
I'm all about doing service for the poor farmers of Middle America.
They need it.
I've said this.
They
need our help. That's my mission statement.
They need our help. You need to buy Bush Light because they're for the farmers, and you need to hunt hogs.
Hogs don't fuck around. They will kill you.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched a movie just recently. What was it called? And the guy gets killed. Oh, it's a goat.
Game of Thrones.
By a goat. Game of Thrones.
Robert Baratheon gets killed by a hog.
Oh, he does on a hunting trip.
It happens a lot, actually.
God damn. Yeah. Yeah. I'd kill a fucking hog. I used to work in a slaughterhouse, for crying out loud, Anthony.
I know. Why are you so worried about killing deer?
I'm not. Trust me.
Kill the fucking animal.
I don't want to kill it.
Pull the trigger, Mike.
I don't want to do it, Anthony. I used to kill 500 cows a day.
Wow. How do you feel about yourself? You've killed way more innocent animals than I have.
I sleep at night just fine.
And you guys tortured them before. Locked in those terrible buildings and just shit and piss all over the place. And they just get walked to this lonesome death.
You know?
At least my deer lived a fantastic life. It was out humping deer its whole life.
You're right. Its whole life. Having a happy time, walking through, thinking about, I'm going to get laid again tonight. Oh, look at that. There's some lovely grass over there. I'm going to nibble that grass. I'm going to bring it back to my little kids. No, I'm not. Just have my fucking brains blown out by Anthony Smith. Frolicking in the beautiful summer's meadow. That's all it was doing.
And was happy until then.
It was happy. I think that's the show, guys. We kind of struggled on that one there today.
There's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of news.
Bro, I'm trying to do fucking videos for my YouTube channel. There's fucking nothing to talk about. The biggest story is Conor McGregor threatening you.
It's fucking every goddamn MMA media site out there wrote about it.
Have you been getting hit up galore for interviews?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I did see Harrington get all frustrated on Twitter, though.
About what?
What happened, Harrington? You came at MMAfighting.com.
No, it's honestly more just about like the shoddy reporting that's out there. So some site, right, made an infographic of like MMA Fighting took the transcript from this podcast, ran it as an article. Somebody made an infographic of Anthony Smith looking tough and then those words underneath and then just quoted MMA Fighting. And I'm like, I mean, come on, dude. Listen.
What were the words?
The context from the podcast about saying
what I said on here.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do, you know. Oh, let's have a look.
See, at the bottom it says via MMA Junkie, and Harrington is mad that it didn't say via the BYM pod.
Well, listen, when Mike Harrington is the MMA media watchdog, there's fucking issues.
Fucking Brian never fails. What was I going to say then, though? Yeah, but this is what they do, because I was talking about, there were some headlines the other day. I mean, again, to be fair, we're just saying there's not a lot to talk about. There's not many stories going on, yada, yada, yada. They've got to type some shit. You know, yeah, I had the story the other day saying Michael Bisping, lambast, that's the word that they use, lambast MMA fans for being fickle. And I was talking about, who was I talking about? Oh, Jorge Masvidal. You know, I just said, you know, MMA fans, meaning en masse, you know, the general masses, the casual fan base. You know, he lost 3 fights, 2 to Kamaru, 1 to Colby. When you lose some fights, they write you off instantly. I said, that doesn't mean that Jorge Masvidal as a man has changed. That fighting spirit that he's always had, that he's always been known for, has diminished all of a sudden. No. I said, but MMA fans are fickle. But yeah, Michael Bisping, lambast. I didn't fucking lambast anyone. I couldn't lambast anyone if I tried. Sounds like something I might get arrested for. You ever lambasted a Anyone having dick?
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Lambasted. I fucking lambasted the shit out of her last night. Anyway, I think we'll leave that there, boys. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's it. That'll do it.
All right. Adios.